This is Jennifer Lawrence from Old Chatham, and you are listening to WGXC Accra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org.
Test, test.
Testing, testing.
Bump me up.
Bump, 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 bump it up. Bump, bump, bump it up.
That's good. Bump. Hey, it's me, Holly Tanner.
And it's me, Justin Weaver.
We are your co-hosts of Something to Talk About, which you can only hear on...
WGXE 90.7 FM.
Your place for live local radio. Be sure to tune in second and fourth Wednesday of every month at...
2 p.m. till 3 p.m.
We'll talk to you then.
Don't miss us.
What's going on, Justin? Anything?
I don't know. You know, I just got a phone call the other day.
Oh.
I can't stand these telemarketers. It's like...
Oh, no.
Off the wall.
Crazy.
I don't know, Holly. Let's talk about it.
People are talking, talking about people. I hear the whisper. You won't believe it.
The Red Dot Restaurant and Bar is proud to support WGXC, located at 321 Warren Street in Hudson, New York, a world-inspired American bistro operating for over 16 years. Visit us on Facebook or at reddotrestaurant.com. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Justin Weaver alongside one of my dearest friends who is filling in for the fabulous Holly Tanner. Why don't you introduce
Hi,
yourself?
Hi, everybody. Denise Keegan here.
Miss Denise Keegan. This is Something to Talk About on WGXE 90.7 FM. Today is Wednesday, January 24th, and we are here at Columbia Memorial Hospital in the cafeteria. If you are driving around, hurry up and get up here and see some live radio in action, and you might even get interviewed. We have a ton of special guests here today. But first, Denise, I think we have to tell the listeners, you know, today is a variety of national days, actually. The first one is today is National Compliment Day. So to give a great compliment, you first have to be sincere. People have a way of knowing when we're fake. If you don't mean it, it's worse than getting a thoughtless birthday gift. So let me try it out. You look absolutely beautiful today. Do you believe me?
Yes, of course, because I do. I know you do, Blanche. And it's also Beer Can Appreciation Day. Does that mean there's any beer in it?
I hope so.
Me too, because otherwise I'm not interested in the can. I want what's inside.
There you go.
Beer Can Appreciation Day recognizes the great day in 1935. That was the year you were born, wasn't it?
Older than me.
When beer was first sold in cans, credit for the beverage goes to the Kruger Brewing Company of Richmond, Virginia. Made of steel and weighing in at almost 4 ounces, this hefty canister is opened with a church key. A church key?
Oh, how about that?
Well,
it's also National Peanut Butter Day. I don't know. Trixie is here. Trixie, you do a wonderful peanut butter cookie, don't you?
I do a peanut butter cookie. There's some here at the Columbia Memorial Health Cafeteria.
Well, I have a ton of cookies in front of me, and I'll just roll the dice and eat one later and hope for the best.
And are your cookies creamy or chunky?
It depends. There you go.
Do they have chocolate or jelly?
We have chocolate.
And finally, it is
Global Belly Laugh Day. Everybody want to give it old belly laugh?
On the count of three, let's all do a belly laugh. One, two, three. Does everybody just feel so much better? Life is perfect now.
It's Christmas.
So moving right along, let's introduce our first guest. We have here Rich Volo, a.k.a. Trixie Star, also a.k.a. Fourth Ward Alderman in the city of Hudson, and he is joined here by volunteer firefighter Justin Elliott and they're here to talk about the Hudson Polar Plunge coming up in February. So take it away, boys.
Thank you very much for having us.
Of course. Welcome.
We're bringing the Polar Plunge here to City of Hudson. And bringing the Polar Plunge here to City of Hudson. And it's going to be Saturday, February 24th. Registration's at 11 and plunge at noon. HudsonPolarPlunge.com. We are raising money for the volunteer firefighters, at which Justin is one of them, and as well as the Hudson Youth Department, and as well as like Oakdale Beach to help renovate what's there at Oakdale Beach. So the money is being raised for a good cause. You can sign up, and you can help us raise money, and it's going to be great.
Now, whose idea was this? Did you approach the firefighters? Did the firefighters approach you? How did this all come about?
This was a combination. The fire department approached the youth department. Youth department, at the same time, they were looking for some assistance with raising funds. And volunteer fire department, that's one of our specialties, is we raise funds and, you know, we hold chicken barbecues, pasta dinners. This is stuff we do, you know, day in and day out. As soon as one ends, we pick up another fundraiser. So the youth department, they were looking to raise funds for the beach house and their programs at Oakdale. In the fire department, we have a water rescue team that was started, I believe, right around 2001.
Uh-huh.
And we don't actually have a budget. We work off of a little bit from the fire department. So most of our training, our equipment, all comes from fundraising.
So that when we see the firefighters out there with the boot at the light, they're collecting money for things like this?
Yep. Different reasons. This specifically is going to go to the water rescue team.
Okay.
Which it's a group of individuals within the fire department that we all have specialty training in water rescue.
So go ahead, Denise.
Is this the first time ever that there was a polar plunge in Hudson, or has there been one before?
Haven't really researched it, so we're not sure. I haven't heard any.
I've been here for 41 years, and I don't know of any polar plunge ever.
Yeah, none of the old...
Except in my bathtub.
Did anybody ever consider the
river?
You
don't want to see that. That's in an inch of water. go ahead, Denise.
Did anybody ever consider doing it in the river?
We had talked about locations. Oakdale was the prime choice, because especially that's where the funds are going to be going to as well. And we want to get people to Oakdale.
And obviously safer.
Yep. Yeah,
no tides, safer. No nothing like that. Debris.
Yeah.
Right.
But we really want to get people in the beach house and see the conditions of the beach house and see what their money actually is going to go towards.
And what needs to be done.
Exactly.
Oh, good.
So,
great
again,
calls.
This is starting at... the event starts at 11.
Yep.
So give us an idea of what's going to happen. People show up in Speedos or boxer shorts, or how does this all work?
It's going to be cold, right? So
no Speedos.
Yeah. So you show up, you know, and then there'll be like a changing or unchanging room. But, I mean, you could basically, I mean, there's some people going to be going in Speedos, some people going to be going in bathrobes and pajamas, you know, whatever. You know, as long as you raise some money.
Exactly.
Those are the rules. But also credit given to Dominic Moranti. So I'm working with the 5th Ward Alderman, Dominic Moranti, who's also on the committee, as well as, you know Nick Zakos and the other people there. So, and our major sponsors, of which Community Memorial Health is one of them.
Yay.
So we have...
Well, yeah. And so, I saw also the Sloop Club.
The Sloop Club is helping us out.
What does Sloop mean? Because I've always wondered what that means.
It's a type of boat.
Okay.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay, go with it. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah. Malinsky Photography. Mike is going to be... He's raising money.
Okay.
So, there we go. Columbia Green. We're doing Register Star. The CAT, 98.5. Columbia Tent. They're donating tents. And the fire department... and Michael S. Johnson, the bus line, because after the plunge at noon, we're going to the Elks. So we're going to be bussing people over to the Elks Lodge.
Or the hospital.
Hopefully not the hospital.
One or the other.
And you know what? That brings us to a do and don't list for you guys. I'm helping you guys out here. This is my contribution, as well as I'm signing up for the Polar Plunge. But it's actually not going to be me. It's going to be Girl Gantua. I'm just looking for a wetsuit in size 3X. So if anybody has a pink one, let me know. Since you guys are doing this for the first time, here's some do's and don'ts. Denise, why don't you... here's a couple do's. Wear your plunge attire under your clothes, and then you don't have to change into them at the plunge. And remember that you'll be exiting in the water quickly, so don't wear anything that will be heavy when it's wet. And be creative with your plunge attire. Denise, how about some don'ts?
Some don'ts. Don't plunge if you have any heart or serious medical conditions.
Because then you'll be here at the hospital.
Exactly. That's the bus we'll be going here. Detour. No diving or somersaults.
Well, then I'm not doing it.
Is that how you spell somersaults?
Yes.
Okay. The water is shallow. No wetsuits. You see, there's your answer.
Oh.
Or dry suits are allowed. That would be cheating. Do wear Speedos. No, it doesn't say that. Anyway, so. Bring a robe, blanket, or towel.
Yeah, and bring a plastic bag for your wet clothes. All right, so those are just a few tips. Now, you say everybody's going to the Elks Club for some sort of party afterwards. There's going to be food available for sale, correct? And everybody can get liquored up together and celebrate.
Food and beverage.
Food and beverage. And I've been reading on this, and people say that they feel completely invigorated after they go into the freezing waters. And their lives have changed. So this is a really wonderful thing. You're doing your New Year's resolutions. You need a jump start. Go in icy water. And this is perfect. Perfect timing.
Are you going to do it, Justin?
I'm definitely doing it. You want to do it?
I'll do it with you.
Okay.
On air. It's going to be done.
Okay,
so we can't back out now.
Anybody else here want to do the polar plunge?
Saturday?
Saturday.
The 24th.
February 24th.
At what time?
11 o'clock at Oakdale.
In the morning?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. We're doing it. Yeah. Okay, high five. Yeah, we're on.
Then maybe we'll be really nice to the customers
like
at the Red Top.
Wait a second. No, that's no part of the plan.
You never know.
Now, when you sign up, Justin, you go into the website, follow the link, you go to the first given website, you create your own team. So you can create a Girl Gantua team.
Oh, great.
And then you can have as many people as you want join
your
team.
I am not dressing up as Girl Gantua.
Okay.
You guys can collectively raise money as a team together. You share it through your Facebook and have all your friends, family.
So it'd be a team of two.
Yeah, but you know what? I was reading also, if you are a team of five, you get a $25 discount, correct?
Right.
So if you are five people, it's going to cost you $100,
correct.
Where normally it would be $125. So there is a perk to having more people and to get a big team.
Yeah, we ask for a donation of $25 per person or $100 for a team of five.
Well, listen up, everybody. This is a wonderful cause. I can't personally tell you to sign up for this, but if you would like to, you can
We'll be there. That's sure to be a spectacle.
Yes, just come for that. HudsonPolarPlunge.com. Okay, guys. Is there anything else that we left out? How's the Alderman going? Any news that you want to share with us? How your new duties of fourth ward Alderman is going?
Where have I been?
Yeah, it's the story of my life is be careful what you ask for, Trixie. So it's fine. It's a lot of fun. It's really interesting. It's a good group. We're all brand new, so most of us are all brand new. So it's it's great, and everyone seems really kind of chill and respectful so far, and so far so good.
Well, good.
But it's only a month in.
It's only a month in.
And wait.
Part one of those don'ts should probably be not to wear a long sequence dress in your high heels.
Oh, no, that's staying home, honey.
Is also another one. It says, do not stay in longer than 15 minutes. I have no intention of staying in longer than a minute.
Not even. No.
Body heat is lost 20 times faster in water than in air.
Well, being that I'm the heaviest I've ever been, people are going to mistake me for an actual polar bear when I go in, so stay tuned for that.
And also, do not drink alcohol prior to the plunge, despite what people think. It does lower your body temperature.
That counts us out, too. We really got to work on this.
I think we should stay up all night just waiting.
Yeah. All right. And any news, anything going on with... we can't talk about prices. I'm sorry. We've already done that. So sorry about that. We scratched that. We're not allowed to talk prices on the air. I apologize. So go to www.hudsonpolarplunge.com to get the prices that we didn't already mention. Sorry about that, everybody. What else is going on with the fire department? Really quickly, if you want to talk about how many people are in the fire department and which one are you part of?
Part of Edmonton's, which is one of the companies that have consolidated in the Central Station on 7th Street.
Oh, okay.
And we run about 100 active volunteers right now.
Wow.
And it all depends. Availability is tough nowadays. A lot of people aren't available during the day.
And you guys work, obviously, together with all the other... How many other fire departments are there in Hudson?
In Hudson, it's the Central Station, and then we also have Oyster at Ho's on Warren Street, right, down next to Baba Louie's, across from City Hall.
And there's not, like, competition between the fire departments, like, who's better? Everybody gets along.
Everybody works well together.
Everybody gets along when you're saving lives.
With 100 people, they are set out in shifts?
Nope.
No, everybody is on call all the time.
Yep, whoever's
That's
available at any time. Like, I work nights, so I'm available during the day.
Right.
But at night, obviously, I'm working.
Oh,
I'm not
okay,
available.
So.
And we have a group of retired guys that are available during the day, help us out.
Well, that's great. You do a great job, by the way. I can't hear you.
The firefighters were just there for that house on State and Third.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Zero-degree weather.
Yeah,
wow.
I saw that.
Zero-degree weather.
Yeah, that was amazing. Amazing job.
So, yeah.
Freezing.
I mean, volunteers. So,
they're amazing. That's a, right. It's a round of applause.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for coming on. We're happy to have you, as always, Trixie and Justin Elliott. From the fire department here in Hudson. Thank you so much. And they hope that you go to www.hudsonpolarplunge.com to sign up for the Hudson Polar Plunge. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. We'll see you there.
Okay, though.
What have we done?
Well, what have we done? We got one out of our way. We still got 45 minutes.
Oh, no, but I'm saying, what have we done? We were signing up for the Polar Plunge.
Oh, yeah, we've just signed up for the
On
Polar
air.
Plunge.
On air. Renee, now. See you there.
Denise, you're doing a fabulous job, if I haven't told you already.
Yeah, but I'll take it. Thank
all
you.
The listeners agree. And we already, just moving right along with live radio. By the way, you're listening to you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC.org, and you can tune in to www.wgxc.org to listen live and tell a friend. Okay. Oh, I have to give a shout out to a couple of friends over at Hudson High School. Big shout out to Wayne Francis and Katina Dort, who are listening live when they should be doing their job with the kids. I'm just kidding. Thank you for listening, Hudson High School. Thank you, Katina and Wayne.
And I have to give a shout out to Gary, my brother, who's listening live too. He told me I had to, so I'm doing it.
Okay. So now we're going to bring it back to something one of the reasons why we're here is to showcase some people that actually work here and what they do. And let's take it away with Kelly Sackett, who is the infection control coordinator here at Columbia Memorial. Kelly, you're here to talk about the flu.
Yes. So as many of you know, currently the New York State has been seeing widespread flu geographically, which means that it's present in 52 counties. Also, nationally, it's widespread. So we're seeing a lot of, you know, hospitalizations throughout the country. Basically, your best bet for prevention is to be vaccinated. Even if the strains don't match, you still have a better chance at having a less severe illness, so to speak. And also, just washing your hands is super
personal
important.
Hygiene is very, you know,
right,
paramount.
Right. Washing your hands, right, don't touch
So it is transferred through sort of touch or... Is it airborne, the flu?
Nope, droplets.
Droplets.
Yep.
Okay. So if somebody sneezes that has the flu, then and you inhale it, then that's where...
Right. If
or
you're
coughing.
With, yep, if you're within 3 feet of them.
So, and washing hands would help stop transfer bacteria and... Is it a virus?
It's a virus.
It's a virus.
Washing surfaces too, so like doorknobs, tape
right,
countertops. I have a 6-year-old, so
right,
I'm constantly going behind her with bleach wipes this time of year because I don't want what she's selling.
Right.
Now, has the strain of what they're calling the Aussie flu, has that reached the United States yet, as we know, that is in Europe at the moment?
Not yet.
Right.
And usually, so I know that there have been some rumored... you know, how effective the vaccine is.
Right.
But the CDC usually doesn't report a final efficacy rate until after we see the peak of the season.
Right.
You know.
And have they used the word pandemic yet with this flu? No, because it hasn't sort of gone.
No, and pandemic usually is meant for when we see a new strain, like a
right,
novel strain. So like H1N1. Like,
right.
That
and the Aussie flu they're saying is H3N2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a newer strain, right, which is not as, I mean, it's more resilient to the vaccine. Is that true?
It's just a more virulent strain, but
okay,
we have seen it.
You have seen it. Oh, now, okay. So it's not new.
Now,
no.
Kelly, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Now, for somebody who is 60, I'm not going to say who, No, I'm just kidding.
Back off, Spinderella. It's on like Donkey Kong. Let's go.
Let's say you have a 60-year-old person who has never in their whole lives had the flu. How are you going to convince that person to get a flu shot? When they've gone 60 years of their life without never getting a flu shot, how do you convince that person that they should get the flu shot now?
I think everybody should get the flu shot. It's important, even if the strains don't match up. It helps your body build up antibodies for future flu seasons.
Right.
Okay.
Now, are there any side effects to getting the flu shot that people might want to know about?
They get the flu sometimes, don't they?
See, that's a common misconception.
Okay.
Because it's actually not a live virus.
Okay.
So what happens is a lot of times people who do become ill after getting the flu shot have already been exposed to some kind of virus.
Meaning ill getting the flu after it. Okay.
Right. So they've already been exposed prior to becoming vaccinated.
Right. So what other sort of side effects could possibly happen? I mean, they're all minimal, I'm assuming.
Yeah, typically people just get like a sore arm.
Right.
Other
just
than that.
On site sort of issues.
Right. And,
yeah,
you know, consult your doctor if you've had adverse reactions to vaccines. And, I mean, it's always best to just talk with your doctor. But
yeah.
A lot of doctors, especially pediatricians, are recommending that children be vaccinated.
And we were talking before we came live on the air. Why don't you tell everybody the main difference between the common cold and the flu?
So with the common cold, you typically get the runny nose, cough, and headache. With the flu, you see usually a fever, usually about 101 and higher. You also get a cough, the headache, and you'll feel body aches.
Right.
Sore throat.
Like joint aches as well.
Right. A lot of people describe it as being hit by a bus.
Right.
And they can tell you the exact hour that they got the flu because it hit them like a freight train.
And you can get the flu January through December.
Right.
But it's more prevalent during the winter months.
Right.
Go ahead.
I also read that it was in the UK, they're recommending that people wrap warm in layers, so that can also prevent people. I mean, it can help in preventing, as opposed to doing one big, using layers when they're outside. Being warm is sort of one thing that can help you not contract
Is that true?
Viruses or...
I have not seen anything like that from the CDC.
Okay.
I know their biggest...
They're weird over there anyway. Who knows?
That's why you became American recently.
I did.
Congratulations.
She's a newly...
I have my moments. I flip and flop. A weirdo, not a weirdo.
U.S. citizen.
Still a weirdo. Yes, I am. Newly formed.
Hand washing is really your best bet. Washing before and after you eat. If you're taking care of somebody at home that's ill, just making sure that you really wash your hands. If you don't have access to a sink... making sure that you have hand sanitizer on you. But really the best practice is to really wash your hands with soap and water for 20 seconds.
Right. Now, the types, there is a type A, type B, and type C, right? And then but C is very sort of, you know, not bad. And then A and B, the A is the one that's more serious than B. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
And typically this is, so we're actually seeing a normal flu season that we see flu A peak in the winter, and then more towards spring, we usually get
the B
strain coming.
Now, how rare, because a friend of mine just had the flu, and she had blood tests done, and it came back that she had both A and B. How rare is that? Is that rare, or is it fairly common?
No, people get it.
They
fairly,
do?
Yeah, it's
okay, so
common.
It's not something,
It's just a matter of who you were exposed to. She may have been exposed to two people, one with the A strain, one with the B strain, and she got the luck of the draw.
Exactly.
And when somebody gets the flu, what's the cure? Is it just rest, relaxation, and...
hydration.
Feeding the cold, or feeding it, you know,
starve a fever, feed a cold.
Well, I wasn't sure. So what's the common cure?
If you get if you have a high temp and a cough and a fever, I recommend calling your doctor because there is antiviral treatment that you can take.
Okay.
It will not cure you, but it can help mitigate and lessen the severity of the illness. But you know. Definitely talk to your doctor about it because those do come with some.
Right. Is dehydration something to be concerned about if you have? That's one of the sort of issues. I mean, dehydration is a big killer a lot of the time. I don't think people realize how severe that can be.
Right. Staying hydrated is super important, you know, especially with kids like Pedialyte, the Gatorade.
Not just water, because water really doesn't replace the salts and everything
that
you lose during that sort of thing. Okay. So, but,
and how many cases have you seen here in Columbia County this year? I don't know if you have numbers. I think we were talking about this before we came on the air, or average in this area.
We're seeing what we would typically this time of year.
Not more than what you would notice. It's not sort of gun epidemic.
Right. You know, right. This is our typical flu season. We've seen, you know, cases here in the hospital, and we patch them up and send them home. And
well, Kelly, you gave us a lot of information about the flu. We're happy that you joined us. And how long have you been doing this? How long have you worked up here at the hospital?
I've been at the hospital since August, but I've been in infection control for about 3 years now.
Wow.
So.
And what about this hospital makes you enjoy your job even more?
I just love the small hometown feeling, and it's, you know, where I grew up. So it's like I love...
From Hudson?
I'm originally from Claverack.
Oh, so, okay, so you're Columbia County native.
Yep. Good. Yeah, so I came back home.
Well, cool. Well, we're happy to have you, and we're happy that you're here.
Hopefully
to fill
we won't
us in.
Have to come looking for you.
Yes, but if we do, we know we have a
after
nice...
After the polar plunge, maybe.
After the polar plunge, you'll be
right.
Seeing us. We might have the flu.
Oh, my God. Come with us.
Just so, wash your hands.
Wash
your hands.
Well, we'd be in the water.
So this has been Kelly Sackett. Thank you so much for
Thank
taking
you.
Some time
Kelly.
To talk to us. And we're going to go to a very short musical break. I thought it would be very appropriate because our next guest is going to be Dana Johnson, who is up here
Dana
cooking,
Johnson.
Formerly of Relish and now from Relish and Root.
Thank you.
And here is Weird Al Yankovic with Eat It.
Oh. Dana, you're up.
Even.
Everyone's favorite song from, I think, the 90s. I didn't get that. We need to turn that up a little bit more, Alana.
Yep.
the volume on the microphones. Yeah, okay, there we go. It's perfect. That was Eat It by Weird Al Yankovic. And this next lovely lady certainly knows how to eat it, and she knows how to make us eat it. Let's welcome to Something to Talk About on WGXC 90.7 FM, Dana Wegner-Johnson. Now, are you still Dana Wegner-Johnson or just Dana Johnson?
Just Dana Johnson.
Just Dana Johnson. And Dana, you have been relishing food since 2000.
This is true.
What does that mean?
That means I make wonderful food, Justin. You should know.
I do. I do because I was a frequent customer at your restaurant, Relish. And you were there for 5 years, yeah?
That's correct.
And just wrapped up shop last year.
Last August.
And I was looking at Yelp today just to see what your final rating was, and you ended up rated 4.5 out of 5 stars.
That's good.
Which is an amazing accomplishment. You must be very proud.
We held that for 5 years, which is awesome.
That's fantastic.
And I don't think they give you 5 unless you advertise. So
yeah,
really?
it's like a 5.
Yeah,
oh,
there's
wow.
some sites that do that where you can get you
well,
can
I thought
pay.
I didn't know that. So
I know of a certain restaurant owner who pays to get rid of the negative ones.
Yeah, they harass you for advertisement.
And
yeah.
That's how you get 5 stars, huh?
Yeah,
you, not me.
So, Relish. I'm sure you know this, Dana, because you named your restaurant Relish. It's a seasoned sauce that is used to add flavor to other foods and that's made of chopped fruit or vegetables, especially such a sauce made from pickles. That's what everybody puts on their hot dogs. Enjoyment of or delight in something, that's another meaning, or a feeling of liking something. And I think that all applies to you. Now, I'm wondering, was Relish the very first name that you had for the restaurant? And if not, or if so, were there any other contenders that you had possible in your mind to call your restaurant?
I wanted one word. That's about all I knew. But then it turned out to be Relish Hudson because we were not about the pickle. We were about relishing the food and the experience.
Double entendre. Yeah. I caught it.
Yeah. Nah.
You smart little Virgo, you. Now, have you moved on to something like mustard?
No, I've moved on to
belly laugh all around.
Yes, National Belly Laugh Day. What have you moved on to, Dana?
I've moved on to Chef Dana Johnson, keeping it simple. And we're doing catering and private parties and cooking classes, whether in a group, if you want to host a dinner party with your girlfriends and we come over and we present it all together and then sit down and eat and drink together, or private lessons.
Oh, that's
I must
fun.
Say, I did learn an awful lot from your very, very great informational video on how to heat a can of SpaghettiOs.
Thank you.
I watched with great intent.
Yeah, I trained long and hard for that video.
Yes, I could see. It was amazing. Now I've learned so much.
Yeah, it was
culinary school next.
It was brilliant. I am allergic to cats, but the cat was hysterical in the video.
Well, the sound of a can opening in our house is generally for the cat. So when gotcha. I did actually right. open a can of food, she was like, "Oh, it's for me."
Gotcha. Yep.
And were they for her, the SpaghettiOs?
She would not eat them either. No, I don't know if you saw the video posts of friends' children's afterwards attempting to eat SpaghettiOs. My friend Erin Goldman, her daughter was like, no.
Because really?
Those babies are foodies, and she was not having it. She was not even going to taste them. And she's not even old enough to talk.
No.
She was just giving her the...
What is she, two or something?
Yeah, she's a baby.
She's adorable.
Under two, yeah.
Now, can I give out your email and your phone number, or you just want your email out for information?
You can, it's all out there. No
okay,
secrets.
So if you want to contact chef and consultant Dana Johnson, you can reach her at her email, which is chefd623@gmail.com. Or her private digits that are circulating in other parts of the city, I hear. But I'll give it to you anyway. It's 518-943-3985. And I just might take you up on one of those. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Like getting a group of girlfriends together and having a little private party.
I think it's great. A little, like, cooking party?
You could do whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I think it would be a great idea.
Now,
instead
of
a Tupperware party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God, the result is much better.
Absolutely. You can't eat Tupperware. I mean, some people can, but I guess.
Yes.
Some people do it
yeah.
for tricks.
I wouldn't advise
me.
It. Now,
did you, I mean, I was just, did you always want to be a chef? Is that something that you had always aspired to do, or did you have other ideas when you were younger?
I had no idea when I was younger. I was that kid, panicking out of high school, and actually sold cars for 6 years.
Wow.
And then fed a bunch of friends one night and was freaking out about what I was going to be when I grow up, and my friend Amy Labor pointed out, you could get paid to do what you just did, and I said, what is that? And was fed everyone. So I quit my lucrative job and got a job in the nearest restaurant as a dishwasher.
Oh,
and
you
worked my way up.
So you didn't do school culinary
of hard knocks.
School?
Nope, school of hard
well,
knocks
actually,
all the way.
Sometimes I think the best chefs in the world are actually made that way.
Now,
starting in the kitchen.
We all have something in common because we all have worked in restaurants for a large part of our lives and still currently work in restaurants. What would you say are the biggest challenges? Denise is coughing on me, so
sorry.
Thank God I'm in a hospital.
I have a hand
can you
over
bring
my
that,
mouth, unlike some people
can
I know.
You bring that,
saying, I
that,
told you
should have had that flu shot.
Yeah, can you bring,
I knew this
can,
was going to go
can
downhill.
Can you bring that flu crew back? She's coughing all over
she
me.
She flew the coop. I am not. That's
she,
a lie.
She flew the coop. Okay, so Dana... I lost my train of thought.
Good.
What
about something about working in a restaurant?
Yeah.
Is where
yes.
we were.
What's the best part and the worst part about serving food to complete strangers?
The best part is, as in feeding anybody, to see a smile on their face, and eating brings people together, which is nice. The worst part is, you know, there are those people out there that are never happy, and it doesn't matter what you do, and you've got to learn to shake them off and not let them affect your whole day.
Well, what I admire about you is that you have a temperament and a quick tongue just like I do, and you don't take abuse from customers, because in this day and age, the customer is not always right.
No, that is a false statement. They are never right most
never,
of the
ever.
Time. The chef is always right.
Oh,
you
right.
don't want to argue with
no,
the person that
never.
Makes your food. It's just not a
and
good idea.
And it can be life-threatening if you argue with the chef. I've experienced that before.
Well, great. You know, I've enjoyed you commenting back to people, writing some silliness on TripAdvisor and Yelp, because you speak your mind, and you're not going to let anybody abuse the talent that you produce.
And it's a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, I have no inner monologue, but I speak the truth. So I might hurt your feelings, but good news
it's
is I'm not talking
news.
Behind your back.
Exactly.
So.
And you
exactly.
do know exactly how you stand with somebody.
Exactly.
It is tough, though. It's a tough job. And
it's a tough job. And, you know, I had enough.
Yeah, there is. There's no doubt. I mean,
especially being across from the train station, you have people with travel anxiety on top of it.
Yeah.
You know, and they're just always in a hurry. And I'm pretty sure they couldn't get anything faster from anyone else
right.
than they could from me. But
I don't
just
even think
still
the
wasn't drive
through would be faster.
Well, what would you tell people as a customer coming into a restaurant? What is one thing you want people to know?
Don't come in sick, because we don't get sick days.
Okay.
Right. Good job. Yes.
And, you know, be kind. People that work in restaurants work long, hard, excruciating hours. And some of us choose it and some of us don't. It's the skill that we have. I mean, I've been in the industry for 22 years. I've been a server, I've been a bartender, I've been a dishwasher, I've done it all. And as a restaurant owner, never make your employees do something you wouldn't do.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell you to go clean this if I wouldn't have done it myself.
Well, that's
you know?
True.
That's
I have
true.
To say,
yeah.
the one I work for, she's pretty much like that.
Yeah. She's good.
She's a good one. And also, just to let you know that if it's a beet salad, don't complain there's too many beets in it. It is a beet salad.
Yeah.
So beat it.
Or don't tell me that you don't a beet salad without the beets. Then it's nothing. It's air.
So you've been cooking up here. How did you get this gig up here today?
Well, I've known Rochelle for some time, and she's been asking me to do this for some time, but Relish's hours have never made that possible. So, you know, part of retirement was exactly this, so I can start doing some things that I like. I've also started working at the Salvation Army monthly, which is fun. It's more fun to feed people who are actually hungry and are thankful
for
the meal you're about
yeah.
to serve them.
So you're getting into the really gratifying parts of the job that you couldn't really experience, having a, you know, a regimented schedule that you started to really not be so happy with at the end. You know, it was controlling you, and now you're controlling it.
Exactly. And I'm also putting together a soup kitchen in Germantown, or a community kitchen more. We're trying to set up and establish, which will be lunch 2 days a week, where not just homeless but elderly people, there's a large elderly community right there, if they just don't want to be alone for a meal, can
right.
come in and have something to eat.
That's
so.
Fantastic.
That's wonderful.
That's really. And so with your catering business, do you do it solely, or do you have people that work with you?
I do it solely, unless it's a large event. Then I call in people like Justin Weaver.
Yes.
He's actually worked some weddings with me before.
Yes, I have, and it's always a wonderful time.
And you both
time.
Survived. That's amazing.
We both survived as Virgos. Virgos are like cats in a bag. You know, you just put them in the bag and you walk away. You don't want to be near it. It's scary.
What about Scorpios and Virgos?
Well, we have a love-hate relationship, but yeah. I love you more than I hate you.
Right. Silence.
But yes, Dana is very fun to work with, to work for. And so at Relish,
What were your final numbers? I know you were averaging like 175 people a day.
Oh my God! When you said numbers, I was thought you asked me about our finances. I'm like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, what's your checkbook look like? Yeah.
Currently empty. Can I borrow some money?
Yeah. Sure.
I don't have it on because I left my phone across the room. But the final number was well over 100,000 customers.
Yeah.
For the whole 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. My original business plan was to feed 50 people a day, and when I left, we were averaging 160.
Wow.
Which was intense because I made everything from scratch. So every morning was essentially like being on Iron Chef America, where we got the prep done and at the same time served the angry train people.
Have you ever wanted to do that?
And then lots of you awesome customers who are out there, and I miss dearly.
Yeah. Well, we still see you. I don't know if I'm included in that, but I am. So did you ever want to do something like Iron Chef America?
No.
And if you did, who would you go up against?
No, I'm not of
the... Do you have chef idols?
I'm not of the competitive...
Well, you're Virgo. You have to be competitive. And actually, that is one of my questions here. Would you like to do battle against me in an Iron Chef competition?
Bring it.
Okay, it has been brought in. Oh. So we're going to work this out.
We're going to have to make a video or something.
We're going to have to make a video.
You know you have to cook, right?
I can cook.
Okay.
I'm very talented. I'm multifaceted.
He doesn't cut it.
No. So you heard it here first. I'm going to battle the one, the only Dana Johnson in an Iron Chef competition.
Who's a better chef, Gargantua or Justin?
I think Justin. Gargantua has too many accoutrements.
Yeah, that's probably not food safe.
She doesn't want to get her dress
That's against
dirty.
Health code.
Girl Gantua's not food safe.
And then she freaks out when her lipstick smudges.
Exactly.
She can't taste the food. Oh, can I be a judge on this?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
May.
Perfect.
Well, we do have...
You win, Dana.
Thank you. Thank
we
you,
do have one more guest we have to get to. We can wrap up here by... I wanted to ask you two questions, actually. Who are your food idols, your chef idols, and what are your favorite foods and your least favorite foods?
Not really huge on the chef idols. I guess an inspirational chef would be Jamie Oliver.
Sorry, I just
opened... Sound effects by Justin.
I just opened a sugar-free uptime provided by Columbia Memorial Hospital Cafe.
And so did I, and it didn't make that noise.
It's delicious.
It is delicious.
I'm not going to say price, but it's very good.
$3.
Oh, you can't say that. Can she say that?
I don't work here.
Oh, can she say that? She said $3. Can she
say that? Okay, let's go. So what were we talking about? Back to the...
All right, so your idols and then your favorite and least favorite foods.
So Jamie Oliver, who was most known as Naked Chef to people.
He's your favorite food?
He's my... No, Justin, he's your favorite food.
Touché!
He's all about what I like to call clean cooking.
Yes.
You know, even watching him, you know, source his produce and...
Right. And he did try and implement in the schools here, didn't he?
He did a lot with that. I believe he also works with reforming prisoners and getting them into the trade as well.
I know
that
in the UK and in Europe that he did an awful lot with that, and he actually reformed the... Like, there's no chocolate milk allowed in schools, and it has to be just whole milk, healthy food. But in the US, when he tried to do it, he did come across an awful lot of local sort of, you know, people that didn't want to do it because...
It's tough.
It's a tough thing to do, yeah, when people are, you know, and it's also sort of like not cost effective, I feel, for a lot of areas, but...
The kids in our school get, like, lower grade meat than Taco Bell, so...
Oh, my God. Mm.
So, your least favorite food and your favorite food?
I hate lamb.
You hate lamb?
What? I hate lamb.
Oh.
And your favorite food?
Food.
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 Just in food in general?
Yeah. No, I guess chicken piccata is one of my go-tos.
Are you a veggie person? Do you like vegetables?
I'm a veggie. Lots of veggies. Right. I'm savory over sweet.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, personality and what I like to eat.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would totally agree with that.
Well, as I said, we do have another guest, and we really want to thank you, Dana, for everything that you do and that you contribute to the community with your wonderful cooking, your wonderful sense of humor, and your passion. You can contact Chef Dana at Chef D. capital D 623@gmail.com or 518-943-3985 if you want to book a party or have a cooking class or anything food related.
And you can also find my new website at chefd623.com.
Thank you, Dana.
And what does 623 stand for?
623 is both of my grandmother's birthday.
Aww. Aww. That's lovely. And thank you for a wonderful lunch.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
And finally, we're getting to the queen of the hour. She's been waiting patiently. Well, actually, I'm the queen of the hour. What am I saying?
You're the queen of the year.
I'm the queen of the year. As she's getting in here, I'll give her intro. This is Tina Sharp from Tina Wemple Sharp. Do you want me to say Wemple?
No.
Oh, Tina Sharp with an E. Tina Sharp from Columbia Opportunities. Tina, welcome. And why don't you tell everybody what your official title is at Columbia Opportunities and how long you've been working there?
Not queen of the hour. Well, sometimes. So my
princess.
No, that's me too.
No, I'm a little too old to be a princess.
No, you're never too old to be a princess.
Okay. So I'm the executive director of Columbia Opportunities.
Okay.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
That's probably the best title.
Nuts to bolts, whatever you have to do, you do.
You got it.
Now, why don't you tell everybody what Columbia Opportunity does and a little bit about some of the programs that you guys have to offer.
Well, Columbia Opportunities is the community action agency that serves individuals and families with limited incomes throughout Columbia County. And so we serve around 1,200 different families a year with a number of different programs and services. And I'll give you the real quick laundry list. We are involved, obviously, in providing direct services. I have a list because otherwise I might forget.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I have my notes too, honey.
But we also are involved in a number of community-wide initiatives beyond those direct services that we actually provide. So just a quick list. We offer emergency assistance to families and individuals. We have an emergency food pantry. We also have some funding available to help with kind of housing crisis, other smaller emergencies maybe that can really get in people's way of, you know, moving on.
Yes.
I like to say that Columbia Opportunities help people move from where they are to where they want to be.
Exactly. Now, with the pantry, can people donate to that? Do you accept donations?
Absolutely, okay. Year-round.
So where that pantry is actually on Columbia Street, where it is based.
Right, at 540 across, Columbia
right,
Street,
just
yes.
Across from the municipal lot.
And we really receive...
Well, that's good to know, because I have a lot of food, and I just live up the road, and I can definitely bring it down. Yeah.
So we receive donations from a lot of groups throughout Columbia County. We have a couple of churches that keep us in their thoughts at all times, and so we receive regular donations. We have families and individuals who organize food drives for us, local schools, the post office. So,
right.
And we participate with the regional food bank, and so we are able to get some of our food donated through the regional food bank. And actually, when people provide us with funding, we can really stretch those dollars by purchasing items through them.
Now, when people want to donate food, do you take non-perishables or is it any sort?
We really are looking for non-perishable foods.
Something that will last.
Yeah. Exactly. We don't really...
Not refrigerator.
Yeah, we have a refrigerator. We have a freezer. So some of the food that we get from the food bank, we can put into the, you know.
Right.
But for the most part, we're looking for shelf-stable items. And when you think about some of the people that we serve, not everybody has a full kitchen.
Right.
Not everybody's equipped to do catering and to be, you know, the super chef here. And so, you know, we try to make sure we have food that our customers can utilize.
Right. Easily heated.
Easily prepared.
Right.
Microwave prepared sometimes.
Yes, of course.
Because we do actually work with a number of families that are living in some precarious housing situations.
Right.
Well, and that's perfect timing that you said that, because I was doing a little research and I came across the Columbia County plan to end homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that since 2005, the county has seen its homeless population increase by over 200%.
Wow.
And the lack of emergency shelter beds has made this an expensive problem for the county.
Very.
You want to talk a little bit about what the 10-year plan has in store to ameliorate that situation?
Well, the 10-year plan is actually now...
It's over?
Over.
Okay. I was wondering about that because I didn't see it.
We're like in year 15 after the 10-year plan. But in any case... A lot of the issues that were identified in the 10-year plan to end homelessness in Columbia County, and that was a project that the Columbia County Department of Social Services and the Columbia Green Housing Coalition and some different providers of homeless services did develop and worked on together. And we've actually met almost all of the objectives that were set forth in that plan. Homelessness in Columbia and Green counties really has gone up and down, and we just in the last 2 years we last year we saw a, well, between 2015 and 2016, we saw a 25% increase. Between 15 and 16, we'd seen a 20% increase, and that's after numbers had really dropped. So when that plan was developed, we were on the uprise. Our numbers were going up, and then we kind of flattened out, but we're starting to go up again.
And it seems as though the main problem is the resurgence of downtown. Like, Warren Street's become home to first-class shops, and rents are going through the roof, and residents tend to get squeezed out of affordable housing. Do you see that as one of the main causes for homelessness?
Well, lack of affordable housing has been an issue in Columbia County even before the resurgence of Warren Street. And when we look at homelessness, we look at countywide, not just in the city of Hudson. We actually look at Columbia and Greene counties together. And so the lack of affordable housing, absolute number one cause of homelessness. And for the most part, even though a lot of people think of Hudson as being this little city, you know, for the most part, Columbia County is a very rural community. And rural homelessness is different than
like
a real urban,
right,
like a New York City issue of homelessness. And so,
because people don't really see it and they don't know it.
Correct.
Like you do see it in New York,
yes,
because there's always foot traffic.
Right.
Where you don't have that up here.
And so one of the things that has really been challenging for Columbia and Greene counties also is the lack of a formal emergency shelter system where there might be some support services attached. Both in Columbia and Greene counties, we utilize local motels. And so when somebody is homeless and they meet all of the criteria generally, then the Department of Social Services will arrange for an emergency housing for the night or for the week, depending on the circumstances. And that often leaves people very isolated. A lot of people who are homeless actually do work.
Right.
And so if they have to leave their community or go further away from their job, issues like lack of transportation really complicate things for them. And so we are actually just starting later or early tomorrow morning, we will be starting our annual homeless count in Columbia and Greene counties, where we actually will be identifying
coming up with numbers right,
of how many people that were.
That must be difficult to do, is it?
How do you
put it out there for people to sort of come in and say that they're homeless, or?
Well, we do it through a combination of methods, and so one is certainly a service-based count. So there are a number of organizations that are already working with individuals who are homeless,
right,
and so we can just kind of tally up their numbers. We have some collection tools that we use.
Mm-hmm.
But we also do have a group of volunteers that will be kind of, you know, traveling a route and actually looking,
walking
the beat, looking for people who appear to be homeless, and
right,
and so that we can collect up a little information about those individuals and also try to connect them with services.
Yeah.
Where were the numbers last year?
So last year, I have that written down too.
Okay.
Well prepared, not like me. I'm just looking at Justin's notes.
Well, one of the tools you were talking about to find out how many homeless people there actually are, one of the tools I think is called the PIT count.
It's the point in time.
Point in time
count. Yes.
Yeah.
And what does that actually mean?
Go ahead.
And so it is one of the things that the Housing and Urban Renewal or Housing and Urban Development Agency is always concerned about is, you know, we don't want to overcount, but we also don't want to undercount. So all around the country tomorrow, communities all around the country will be participating in this point in time count.
It's national.
It's a national thing. So because some people who are homeless can move from one place to the
right,
other, and so if you don't all count at the same time is a theory, you might double count people.
Right.
Okay. So we don't want to do that.
Now, and what is the purpose of counting? Is it just for sort of records, just to have?
Well, if our community receives continuum of care funds,
okay,
to provide permanent supportive housing. And so we always have to establish the need.
Right.
And so if you don't have a sufficient need in your community, you might not receive
funding.
Any funding.
Right.
And we've been receiving funding for providing permanent supportive housing now since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And so actually, we just received notice of a new round of funding, which for us is about for our community is about $500,000 a year. And if we tally up what we have actually received since we started receiving, we're up over $3 million. Oh. That has been used to help provide permanent supportive housing to people who are homeless in Columbia and Greene counties.
Now, do you find that when people get into that, that they actually do progress? That means,
absolutely.
Like you said,
absolutely.
Yeah,
you know, so every, we use what's called a housing first model. Mm-hmm. And so the housing first model is before you try to provide additional services, let's get a roof over somebody's head and make sure that those basic needs are met. And then we work at developing a plan that's appropriate for that individual.
Right.
And so we have, 1, 2, 3, what do we have? We have 7 different organizations between Columbia and Greene counties that are directly involved in providing services ranging from emergency to permanent supportive housing. Last year, when we did our point in time count, we actually identified almost 200 different people that were either homeless or were in some type of transitional permanent housing program.
Right.
And
this was last year, you're saying?
This was last
year.
We expect to see those numbers up a little bit this year, especially because it's been so cold.
Right.
That was one of the things people often talk about. Do you have a code blue shelter? They've heard that term before. Last year, the governor of New York State advised all of their departments of social services that everybody needs to have access to emergency shelter, even if you don't have a formal emergency shelter program, and that when the temperatures hit 32 degrees at night, then everyone needs to be offered the opportunity for housing, even if they have not necessarily followed all of the rules that normally apply to emergency housing. And so our local...
Because you can hardly say no to somebody when it's zero or freezing outside.
And because most shelter programs are already so overtaxed, most shelters are full. So what happens? You know what happens to an individual when the shelters are full, and we were well below 32 degrees in this past winter. So we do expect that those temperatures will actually have caused more people to come into some type of shelter services. And so,
because a lot of people, where it's a little bit milder, would not. They would just struggle it throughout.
I don't know if we can say really in Columbia and Greene counties a lot of people.
Well, I'm just saying that generally, the sort of consensus of getting that sort of information.
Yeah.
Right.
And is there anything in the works to actually have a homeless shelter and not just put people up in hotels for a night or for a week, that it's a dedicated homeless shelter?
There have been a number of different plans and projects that have been proposed over the course of the last few years, and for a variety of different reasons, those plans have fallen apart. Recently, the Commissioner of Social Services, Bob Gibson, provided some information to the Columbia County Board of Supervisors about a project that is in the works and looking for some support in that. And so there is a plan on the horizon. The Galvin Foundation is proposing to convert an old motel into a more formal emergency shelter program.
That was the old Sunset Motel, right?
That's the one they're talking about. And they are talking about 25 rooms that could be used by individuals and families. There would be a place to provide services for people.
But somebody did bring up with that they were saying that what you had mentioned. I mean, isn't that a little bit sort of out of, you know, where people need to get to work if they don't have transport? Or was there something mentioned about buses going to it? Or
there was some discussion about busing, and there was also some discussion about the city of Hudson being the only place that jobs were available, and that's probably not an accurate depiction. You know, people work all over Columbia County. We have actually more county residents drive out of the county to go to work than stay in the county.
I just want to let you know that we have 2 minutes, and I want you to tell everybody about some important programs that you have, especially during the winter months, like what you do for HEAP and what they can do if they need help with anything. You want to talk about?
Let me just finish up on the survey.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're doing differently this year is, and part of it is because it has been so cold, Community Action of Greene County, Mental Health Association, and Columbia Opportunities are opening our doors as warming centers tomorrow.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
And are the temperatures supposed to drop?
Yeah, it's
yeah, they're supposed to drop down. And so what we're encouraging people who you know, might be looking for a place to warm up, as well as the volunteers who are participating in the point-in-time count, they'll have a place to stop, collect themselves. We're going to just have... Thaw out for a minute, a little coffee and donuts. And so I would urge anybody who finds themselves without shelter and they want a little warm spot tomorrow, Mental Health Association at the top of Union Street will be open from 8 until noon, and then Columbia Opportunities will be open from 12:30 to 4:30. People are always welcome to